Could you open your Bible, please, to 1 Peter chapter 5? Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have spoken to us in your word. Thank you that we can confidently say that what we have before us is a word from you. It's inerrant, it's inspired. Lord, it's sufficient, and it's what we need to hear. So Lord, I do pray tonight that you would speak to us through your word. Please remove all distractions, remove all hindrances, and help us to be receptive to the message that you have for us, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you had to describe the year that has just passed in a couple of words, how would you describe it? You know, I would describe 2021 like this. That was hard. You know, that was hard. You know, for Emma and I, 2021 was the most challenging year of our life. It's been very challenging for us. And I'm sure there are many others in that same boat. Trials and troubles seem to come one after another. It's like the waves at the beach, they just keep coming. And it felt at times you're gasping for air, and yet the waves kept relentlessly smashing you. Perhaps you can relate to that image. And if you're honest, as you stand at the beginning of a new year, things don't look much better. You're worried. You're anxious. You're concerned. You know, whether it be the whole COVID issue and all that entails, who knows what's going to happen there. Whether it be what's happening at work or in your studies at university, or whether it be your health or that of a loved one. Perhaps there's financial difficulties in your life, or there's a massive decision that you're going to be faced with, or maybe your marriage is shaky, or there's difficulties with your children. You know, there's an almost endless catalogue advertising our many burdens that cause you and I to be worried and concerned. You know, as we stand at the beginning of another year, what are we to do with our burdens that cause us to be concerned and to worry? Okay, when they strike us, and they will, okay, difficulties will come. We should expect them. What should we do? Well, our natural tendency is to be self-sufficient and to think, you know, I'm okay. I can handle this. Okay, I've got this under control. This is a symptom of our fallen condition. And I'll let you in on a little secret. It doesn't work. You and I are not strong enough to carry our burdens alone. So what should we do? You know, with some people, they turn to the bottle. Other people turn to drugs or pornography, to illicit relationships, to excessive eating, to binge watching. Okay, you fill in the blank. Many are the proposed coping mechanisms for the burdens of life. But what does the Bible say? Okay, what are we to do with our worries and our concerns? This is going to be the focus of this sermon. We are considering tonight a verse that is very well known. I'm confident that a lot of us have probably got it memorized. And there's a reason why this verse is so well known. It's both practical and it's glorious. Okay, that this contains spectacular truth. Cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he careth for you. But from the outset, okay, I want to oppose two lines of thinking that could be prevalent about this verse that are wrong. And the first is this, what I've called Christian cliche. This particular verse can very easily be turned into a cliche that just gets thrown around whenever someone's going through a tough time. You know, it's like a line you write in a card, or a comment that you put on someone's post online, or you send it as a text when you just don't know what to say. Okay, please don't turn this verse into or view it as some cheap Christian cliche that means very little, because that couldn't be further from the truth. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing is what I've called fictional fantasy. And this is the thinking that views the teaching of this verse as, you know, some feel-good stuff that sounds nice, but it doesn't work for me. Sure, it may work for some other people, but there's no way that this could help me. My problems are way beyond this remedy. That too couldn't be further from the truth. So with that said, let's consider the scriptural remedy of dealing with the burdens of life as a believer. Now, in considering this verse, it's important for us to understand that Peter is writing to suffering Christians. Okay, the theme of suffering is addressed on a number of occasions throughout this small epistle. Okay, we get a glimpse of it in the first verse. He addresses them and he refers to them as scattered. Okay, that's a result of the cruel persecution that they were experiencing under Nero. Suffering is then addressed in chapters 2, 3, and 4. Okay, there's only 5 chapters in this book, so it's not a stretch to say that suffering is a key theme. So the recipients of this epistle are in the midst of what was the most intense and aggressive persecution of the early church. Okay, that they are in the middle of this as they received this letter, as is Peter, who is the author. Okay, just a few years after writing this, Peter's crucified upside down. Okay, you know, that gives us an idea of the intensity of the persecution at this time. And I make this observation to highlight that this was not written by someone who doesn't understand what it means to suffer, nor was it written to a group of people who didn't understand suffering. But rather, this was the soothing balm given by the Lord to apply to the wounds of his people that had been inflicted by what is intense suffering. Okay, they had many burdens. They had many cares, including, but not limited to, I could be killed today for following Christ. Pretty big burden. You know, I've lost my job for being a Christian. How am I going to feed my family? There's no Centrelink in the first century. They have threatened to harm my family unless I deny the faith. My family have completely disowned me. Okay? I've been kicked out of the family for professing faith in Christ. Okay? And we could go on. They had many reasons, okay, to worry, to be anxious, to be concerned. And God the Father lovingly wraps his arms around them and around us and gives this gracious invitation to cast all of our care upon him. Hand them over. He wants to take them. Isn't that amazing? Okay, God wants to relieve you. God wants to relieve me of our burdens. What an offer that is. Okay, question for you. Do you want relief for your burdens? Okay, do you want relief from your worries? I think we do. Do you want those crushing burdens removed? Do you want to stop feeling crippled and weighed down by worry? My friend, it's possible. It's possible. But what must we do? Well, we're told that we are to cast our cares to the Lord. Okay, what's meant by that? Well, the word cast means to throw or to place upon. The Greek word is only used in one other place in the New Testament, and that's Luke 19:15. And this was when the disciples placed their coats upon the donkey that Jesus used at the triumphant entry. And that particular image is useful. Okay, the coats were placed upon the donkey. You and I were exhorted to place our cares upon God. Okay, don't cling on to them. Don't try to carry the load ourselves, but rather give it over to the Lord. And I want you to notice here that there's no restrictions. It says casting all your care. The word care speaks of our anxieties, our worries, our problems. And the Greek root word means to divide into parts or to split into factions, to cut into pieces. And I think that's a helpful image. Okay, it's very vivid. So this is speaking of all of those things inside that are tearing us apart or have the potential to do so. We are to cast those things to the Lord. And don't miss the little word all. Very easy to read over it. Okay, the Lord wants them all. Okay, all means all. Not just the big cares, but even the small ones. You know, even those worries that others may feel are trivial, we are invited to cast everything to the Lord. You know, we can sometimes fall into the trap of thinking, okay, and I've heard this, you know, that it's not really that big of a deal, so I shouldn't bother God with it. Okay, God has more important things to do. You know, have you ever thought like that? Now, well, this thinking is caused by viewing God incorrectly. Okay, you're viewing God like man. Okay, we as mankind, we have limitations. Okay, we can only handle so much. But we need to understand God's not like that. God has an unlimited capacity for what he can handle. Okay, so you don't have to fear breaking God. Okay, he's infinite, he is omnipotent. You don't need to fear overburdening him. And hence we're free to bring everything to him. Okay, absolutely everything. You know, whether it be the private concerns that no one knows about, your deepest insecurities, bring them to the Lord. Whether it be, you know, family issues, whether it be your physical or spiritual health of a loved one, give it to Jesus. You know, relationship concerns, you know, will I ever get married? Tell it to the Lord. Health issues, cast it to him. Big decisions to make, bring it to Jesus. Okay, whatever it may be. Discouragement, discontentment, despair, questioning, pain, sin, struggles, whether it's past, whether it's present, whether it's future, nothing is excluded. Okay, bring it all to the Lord. The question is how? How do we do this? How do we cast our cares to the Lord? Well, we do this by praying and by trusting. Okay, so firstly, praying. Okay, we need to pray about that which makes us worry, and that may sound very simplistic. You may be thinking, really, Brendan, thanks for being Captain Obvious. And yet I wonder how often we fail to do it. Okay, we have got these worries, we've got these concerns. Someone says, have you prayed about it? No, I haven't. Okay, sincere prayer is how we cast our cares to the Lord. Okay, as soon as you're worried, pray. Okay, as soon as the weed of worry begins to sprout, pluck it up by prayer. And understand that this is something that we need to do continually because we're prone to continue to worry. So you and I, we need to pray regularly and constantly, for this is how we cast our cares, both great and small, to the Lord. Okay, but it's more than this. Okay, we must pray, but we must also trust the Lord. And this is really important. Okay, trust that he is good. Trust that he loves us. Trust that he is faithful, that he is all-wise, that he is just, that he has a plan, that he has a purpose. Even when it makes absolutely no sense to us, we need to trust him and have absolute confidence in him. Okay, and that shouldn't be hard if we know who God is, and yet often it is. Okay, we need to trust that God knows what he's doing and that he knows what we need better than we do ourselves. Okay, so this is how we do it, by prayer and by trusting. And yet if you and I are honest with ourselves, we can all struggle to cast our cares to the Lord despite the simplicity. You know, we all tend to worry far more than we should. And this is because we fail to cast our cares to the Lord. Okay, we don't pray, we don't trust him, or both. Okay, why do we struggle so much with this? Well, in approaching this question, I want us to think about it in a way that why do we often not tell other people about our struggles? You know, there are times when we don't tell other people about our struggles and our troubles because we don't want to burden them. Have you ever thought like that before? You know, we believe that, hey, I can't tell that person because they have too much on their plate already, And you know, I'm very fearful that if I give them my issues as well, okay, that will break them. Okay, I don't want to overburden anyone, so I'll keep it to myself. Well, with God, we don't need to be like that. Okay, He has no limitations. He has omnipotent shoulders that can handle infinite weight. So that's not a legitimate reason for not casting our care to the Lord. What's another reason? Well, sometimes we don't like to tell others because we're fearful of judgment. You know, if I tell them, what are they going to say? Maybe they won't like me anymore. You know, maybe they'll think less of me. Have you ever had that concern? You know, I can't talk about this struggle because I just don't know what, you know, the flow-on effect may be. You know, I can't tell anybody about this struggle because it's embarrassing, they'll be critical, they'll be judgmental, and they mightn't like me anymore. You know, we don't have to have this fear with God. Why? Well, God already knows what you're like. God knows what you're like better than you do. And understand this, He loves you just as much on your bad days as He does on your good days. Okay, understand that. And He doesn't think less of you if you're struggling. Okay, He won't love you less if you bring your burdens to Him. Okay, so you don't have to fear that. And what's another reason why we're fearful with men? Well, sometimes we won't tell others because we're fearful who they might tell. You know, I need to keep this to myself, even though it's crushing me, because I can't trust anyone to keep their mouth zipped. You know, and perhaps you have scarring from this happening previously. You know, you've poured out your heart to someone, and then that loving individual has told six other people what you're struggling with. That's not nice. But the thing with God is, He already knows what's happening in your life, so you don't need to fear that. And one great thing about God that we probably don't think about too much is God doesn't gossip. Okay, God won't plaster across the sky that Brendan is struggling with X, Y, Z, and that's a good thing. Okay, so we don't have to be fearful of that with God. And what's another reason that we're fearful with men? Well, sometimes we don't tell others because they won't understand. You know, I can't talk to anyone about this because no one understands what I'm going through. So it's easy for me just to stay silent. Okay, but that too is not an issue with God. Okay, He understands. In fact, He understands your situation far better than you do yourself. And furthermore, He already knows what's going to happen next. He already knows what you should do next because that's all part of the plan, His plan for your life. Okay, so He understands the situation perfectly. So whatever reasons we use to not tell other people about our struggles, they don't apply to God. So why then do we still try and carry the burdens of life ourselves? Well, the text gives us the answer, and it's probably not one we like, and it's pride. Okay, it's the original ugly sin. If you look back to verses 5 and 6, it mentions humility. And verse 7 is connected to what has preceded. Now allow me just to say some technical Greek thing and then I'll translate it very simply. Okay, the Greek word translated casting, it's what's called a participle. And this is structurally dependent on humble yourselves in verse 6. Okay, in simple terms, casting your care to the Lord is an action or an illustration of what a humble-minded believer does. And hence the opposite is true. Okay, when we don't do it, it's because of pride. So humility manifests itself in handing over our worries to God, and hence worry is a form of pride. Okay, we need to understand that. Okay, when we're being crushed with the burdens of life, when we refuse to hand them to the Lord, it's okay, I've got this, it's under control, we're crippled with worry, okay, it's because we're proud. Because we're proud. But how is worry a manifestation of pride? Well, one author offers this keen insight. He says, worry is a form of pride because when believers are filled with anxiety, they are convinced that they must solve all the problems in their lives in their own strength. The only God they trust is in themselves. When believers throw their worries upon God, they express their trust in his mighty hand, acknowledging that he is Lord and sovereign over all of life. Another added worry constitutes pride since it denies the care of a sovereign God. Worry constitutes pride since it refuses to bow to God's wisdom and accept the twists and turns of his providence. Okay, so understand that worry is a symptom of pride. When you refuse to cast your cares to the Lord, okay, this is why. Okay, it's pride. Okay, and we need to call it out for what it is. Okay, not try and sugarcoat it as, you know, I'm just being independent, I'm just being self-sufficient. No, it's pride. Okay, we need to get that. So with that said, what's the remedy? What's the remedy to this pride? Well, it's realizing who God is. Notice the final phrase of verse 7. Okay, don't miss this. This is glorious. This is amazing. For he, that's God, careth for you. Okay, allow that to sink in. God cares for you. God cares for you as an individual. God cares for me. Okay, this is how we overcome our prideful grip of the burdens that induce worry. We realize that God is actually concerned about us. God actually loves us and he cares. He is concerned about us. This statement, he careth for you. Don't miss how precious that is. Don't just read over that and go, oh, okay. But think about that. Think about how amazing that is. He careth. That means that he's interested. He's concerned about you and me. Isn't that amazing? God, he cares. Okay, in all of the religions of the world, I don't know how many there are. The estimates are like thousands. Only the Judeo-Christian religion teaches that God cares for his children. Okay, that this is our God. He is not some distant deity who is constantly displeased with us and we're constantly trying to pacify him with good works. That's not what our God is like, but rather he's the God. He's the God who cares for us as individuals. You know, what stunning grace that God actually cares for me and that he cares for you, that he would care enough to get involved in my life. That's amazing. You know, imagine if a famous person heard about your particular predicament in your life and they were moved with compassion and they got involved in your situation. They used their wealth, they used their power and influence to make your life a lot easier. That would be amazing. Okay, you know, why is someone like that helping me? But how much greater it is that God cares for you as an individual. Okay, and get this. Not only does God care, but he also understands. Okay, he cares, but he understands. What do I mean? Well, he understands because Jesus Christ took upon himself humanity. God lived with us. Jesus lived in this world. He lived within the limits of humanity. And hence, he not only cares, but he knows exactly what we're going through. That is our God. And this is why we can cast our cares upon him. Because he cares. You know, if he didn't care, it would be quite pointless, wouldn't it? You know, throwing our cares to someone who doesn't care. That would be a misplaced confidence. It wouldn't help. And yet, since he cares, this gives us the utmost confidence to cast all of our worries and all of our cares upon him, and he will assist us in our time of distress. We don't have to bear the burdens of life alone. My friend, giving our worries, giving our concerns to God, it makes sense because he cares for us. Our God is not indifferent. He's not callous. He's not cruel. He has compassion upon his children and he will sustain them in every distress. So when trouble comes this year, and it will, don't be surprised when it does. When worry's stranglehold tightens like that snake on its prey, when the burdens get heavy, throw it to the Lord. Give it to him because he cares. He is near to you and he wants to help you. Pour out your heart to him. all that creates worry in your life, whether it be some massive thing or whether it be something that's quite small, it's a matter of concern to God. And He wants to help you. He wants to release you of that care and take it upon Himself. He will either avert your worries and cares, or He will support you underneath them. This is our God. He cares for you. That's the teaching of this verse. And this particular verse is actually a quotation from Psalm 55:22. And there it says that God will sustain you. So He will bear your burdens, and He will sustain you if you cast your cares to Him. That's our God. And so, man, we serve a great God, don't we? A great God. Now, a God who is concerned about us, that is staggering, that He cares for us as individuals. We are so small, we are so insignificant, and yet God loves us and God cares for us. That's amazing. And if you are tempted to doubt that, maybe you are doubting it right now, His love and His concern for you was proven once for all at the cross. At the cross, it's settled there. God cares, and He's concerned for you. And hence, you don't need to carry the burdens and worries of life alone. You don't need to turn to the other coping mechanisms that I spoke of earlier, but rather cast them to the Lord and trust Him because He cares for you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I do thank You and praise You for who You are. Lord, You are a great God. And it boggles my mind that You care for me, someone so small and insignificant. And yet You want to get involved in my life. You want to get involved in our lives. Lord, please help us to practice the principles found in this verse throughout this year. You know, help us to cast our worries and concerns to You and not be crushed by the burdens of life. Please help us with this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.